Romans chapter 10. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. And here's what we have been learning these past 4 weeks. Week one was the death diagnosis. We're dead. We're all dead. Week two diagnosis was we're all sinners saved by grace. Can I get an amen? So we're all dead. We're all sinners, but we're saved by grace. God pulls us out of darkness into his life. And then last week was sin has a payout. Sin has a price to pay, but how many know Christ is our master? I'm no longer a slave to sin, but I'm now a slave to righteousness. I've given my life to Jesus. I don't live however I want, but I live into freedom because I live for Jesus. And so I hope you had a great week. Also, what, 28 water baptisms as well? Come on. Man, God's on the move. And so here's Romans chapter 10, because now the question is, what's next? What's next? So let's complete what we call the Roman road. Let's complete the book of Romans today as we jump into a new collection next week entitled Forward. Here's what Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says. If you don't have a Bible, get your Bibles out. You can scan the QR code for our YouVersion app. We have Bibles available for free on the back. How many know there's nothing like a paperback? Come on, somebody. Nothing like the old school Bible. Nothing like beating the devil with the Bible. Come on, it's nothing like having the Bible. So Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says, If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord, you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart you are made right with God. I remember this last week. Instantly, we're made right in his sight. But how many know sanctification is a process? And it's by openly declaring your faith. Openly declaring your faith that you are saved. So we're saved. We're alive. We're following Jesus. Now what? Now what? So let's find out first today, but let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, anoint this word. Heavenly Father, give us not just information, but give us revelation that'll lead to transformation. Father God, I pray today, help this word sit in our hearts that change the way we think, change the way we behave, because it's not about behavioral modification, but it's about heart transformation. Help us to reach the world for your praise and your glory, and I thank you, the Bears drafted well, so we're going to win the Super Bowl. In Jesus' name, everybody say it. Amen. And amen. Come on, Levi, don't hate over there. Come on, brother. Come on, you're the one with the cast on for no reason. Come on. Come on. Doctors need faith over there, don't they? I tell you. You know, I also have an 8-year-old, and Derek, he's 8, and one of his favorite things at school, and it's my favorite thing too, is show and tell. Show and tell. Parents, show and tell. And I like show and tell because it's an activity built for normal parents. What do you mean by that? Meaning it is just bring something random from your house and show the class and tell the class about it. That's what I like. I like show and tell. Show and tell, you can tell me 5 minutes before school. Dad, it's show and tell. Grab something to show and tell. Grab the dog. Grab this rock. Grab a toothpick. I don't care. Grab anything you want. You know, grab something and show and tell your classmates. Anything, whatever. But then schools decided, and I'm a little old school. I'm 42, but I'm a little old school. For some reason, schools decided theme days that make no sense to me. How many know what I'm talking about? Days like tomorrow's International Woodland Creatures Accessories Day. And your child needs to show up dressed like a depressed squirrel. Got to have a shirt with like the periodic element. And listen to me. And if you're not at Target the night before at 9 p.m. and you send your kid to school without any of those things, you're a horrible parent. So I like show and tell. I like show and tell. And my son, 8, and Levi did the same thing. Well, tell me the night before, right? Amen. And so mom runs to Target because Amazon's not quick enough. But I like show and tell because show and tell is fun because you share about what you're already excited about. So the title of my message today, as we close this out, as we're asking, okay, what's next? I'm saved. I'm redeemed. I'm a child of God. Come on. I moved from darkness to light. I'm reading my Bible. Man, I'm praying. Man, I'm in a small group. Man, I'm getting my child dedicated. I'm getting water baptized. This is incredible. What an incredible journey. So now what? So I think of many of us in this room, we went from what's next to now what? The title of my message is show and tell. It's show and tell. I like show and tell because you're already sharing with others what you're excited about. And my goal today in this message is to normalize that we have the greatest news to share, and that is I was made right in His sight, and His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Now, just so you know, our world, our society, for some reason, they think, yes, we need religion, yes, we need Christianity, yes, we need traditions, yes, we need to read our word, man, yes, we need to pray, yes, we need to go to heaven, I don't want to go to hell, I want to go to heaven, yes, I want all these things, but sharing my faith, I don't know if that's kind. Sharing my faith, I don't know if that's respectful. Sharing my faith, what's funny, I'll keep going. Because there's some stages to this thing. Last week we talked about stages and seasons, but today I want to kind of show some, I call them saved stages. Some saved stages. And I worked pretty hard on this week because there's actually 5 stages to spiritual growth. And we've been kind of hanging out in stage 1 for the past couple weeks because that's what really Romans is all about, learning that we're justified. Learning that we are a slave to God's righteousness. And so stage 1 was really, we're spiritually dead. We're spiritually dead. But then you hear the good news, and when you hear the good news, you move into spiritual infant. So let's put this up behind me. So you're spiritually dead, and then you go from spiritual infant. This is where we call it you're born again. Man, this is where you accept the news of Jesus. And can you put it on the side screens as well? Online audience can look at a screen. And you're spiritually dead. And then you go from spiritual infant. Man, you're alive in Christ. You're excited to grow. But you're still needing some guidance. Like, you're a spiritual infant. Like I got to come on Sundays. And I need God's, like, milk. You know what I mean? I need to, give me a verse, John 3:16. Give me something easy to believe. And so then you're a spiritual infant. And then you kind of start growing, and you're like learning truth, right? But you're still kind of a, you know, you're battling what we call self-focus. A spiritual child is like a growing believer. A spiritual child, a spiritual infant, you're excited. Spiritual infants are the ones that are like, have you heard about Jesus? I mean, they're just pumped and they're excited. But then a spiritual child, you're learning. But here's kind of the danger of being a spiritual child or a growing believer. The danger is that you still serve in church, but you might not do it for the right reasons. You give, but you might not have the right motives behind it. A lot of times, I'll serve if it personally benefits me. Right? Like, I'll serve if it, you know, I'll read this if I feel like it. I mean, it's kind of this trajectory that I see many of us go on. And hear me, spiritual children are often more concerned about their needs than the needs of others. Spiritual children kind of go, well, it's just me and Jesus. I've seen some people actually leave the church when you become a spiritual child, because when you leave the church, you think, well, the church, they just want this, and they just want that, and they just want all these different things. And so a lot of times, this is where I see TikTok accounts get started. YouTube accounts get started. We don't need the church. Well, you don't need your own YouTube channel. You need a community. Come on, you can stop deconstructing because you don't have the full lens of the gospel in sight. You need a spiritual mentor. You need a spiritual person. And hear me also, though. Some spiritual children have been Christians for a very long time, and they're stuck in this stage. I know 70-year-olds that are spiritual children. I know 20-year-olds that are spiritual children. I've seen people that we stay the same age spiritually every year. Come on. Hey, will you pray and fast with us for 21 days?
Well, Pastor, I can't do that.
Hey, can you tithe and give 10%?
Well, Pastor,
you're actually a spiritual child. You're a spiritual child. But then there's a fork in the road that happens, and I've seen this many different times. A lot of times the fork in the road happens because as we're learning truth, we start to get a little into the word. Sometimes we take the word a little too literal. Or sometimes as we're studying the word, we kind of get into the Old Testament and we're like, should I stone my neighbor? With rocks, not the other stuff. You know, as we start studying our word, we really get into like the Greek and the Hebrew. And then what happens is you're like fired up because you got a really good study Bible or you found a really good YouTube channel. I'm calling some of you out. Quit sending me your YouTube channel. And you're like, this guy said this. I'm like, that guy like lives by himself in his mother's basement and he has a study Bible. No. Or he has a podcast. Stop it. But what happens is you become religious. And when you become religious, you look spiritual on the outside, but you're driven by pride, comparison, status, and you're driven by being seen. You become religious. Matter of fact, it's the religious that put Jesus on a cross. It's the Pharisees. It's now, remember, religion's not bad, but it's when we become religious. Religion's not a bad word. It's relationship over religion. No, it's both. It's both. Am I too quiet today? And when you become religious, you become self-righteous. And what happens when you're religious, really what happens is you don't witness. You don't tell people about the good news. Matter of fact, religious folks tell good news like it's bad news. You're going to hell. Okay. Nice to meet you. Megan, what you're doing is sin. Wow. Thank you in that context. Religious judge. Religious desires preference over mission. What are you doing in my seat? That's my parking spot. That's my area. The religious often don't go on mission trips. The religious often don't go into a small group because they're waiting for someone to ask them to lead a small group. Am I poking the bear? Hi, online audience. You're probably so glad you're watching online. I'm so sorry. The religious might serve, but it needs to be a really important role because you've arrived. A lot of times the religious like to hear me preach and go, I could do a better job. You probably could. And what happens is we get stuck in this stage of religious that growth stops there. And I've had the Holy Spirit knock me off my horse. I've had the Holy Spirit do a work in my life. I've seen the Holy Spirit, heal religious people. And if we can get back on the right track, because the question is not, will I become better? The question is, will I become better because of God? Or will I become better, or am I better than others? And so we can go from religious and we can get back on track. And then instead of being religious or a spiritual infant or a spiritual child, what happens is we'll become a spiritual young adult. This is a good spot. A spiritual young adult. Let's pop it over there. Spiritual young adult. We become a serving disciple. We focus on God and others, and we serve because we love people. We serve because we want to get involved. We have this mindset of I must decrease and he must increase. I've been crucified with Christ, and it's not I that lives, but Christ in me. And this is what happens as we become a spiritual young adult. We become a serving disciple. We're the ones that say, like, I get to do this, and we mean it. And then the next level is a spiritual parent. A spiritual parent, they feed themselves and they take care of others. Man, Pastor Lindsay was at Refresher Conference yesterday, tore it up with our ladies. Come on. And both of my children looked at me at lunchtime and said, we're hungry. And I went, well, I ate. What are you going to do? Because I'm dad, right? Dad eats first. I don't know. Moms eat last, dad eats first. And that's exactly what a spiritual parent does, though. A spiritual parent doesn't come to anyone else and say, I'm leaving the church because I'm not getting fed. A spiritual parent says, well, I already ate. I read God's word. I prayed. Man, I fasted. Man, I checked in with my small group. Man, I tithed because I got paid. Come on, somebody. That's what a spiritual parent does. But also a spiritual parent brings others along. They feed their children. They say, hey, no, Derek, you can't have candy for lunch. I'm going to give you protein for lunch. I'm going to give you what's right. I'm going to give you what you need, not what you want. And this is what a spiritual parent does. They help others follow Jesus, living on mission intentionally. Intentionally. They serve. They give of their time and their energy. I have spiritual parents that still serve in the church today, and they're retired. They got jobs. Oh, yeah, it's incredible. And what happens is a spiritual parent then restarts the cycle, and put that last one up, is then they're going to start reaching people that are spiritually dead and far from God. And what does a spiritual parent do? A spiritual parent makes sure the spiritually dead becomes an infant, a child, a young adult, and they themselves become a spiritual parent. This is the stage of discipleship, and it never stops. It never stops. And so that is why a spiritual parent shares. Man, we always share. Yes, even our chocolates, right, Pastor Lindsay? Come on, like that. They freeloaders at our house. But parents always share. To evangelize means to bring, proclaim, or share the good news. It's the gospel. Share your life, share your Christ. Share your life, share your Jesus. And this is why it's a great opportunity for you to connect one day today. If you're like, you know, and this is a shameless plug right here. Come on, put the QR code behind me in Jesus' name. Come on, production team. Otherwise, they're not joining your team. They're going to join my team. Come on, somebody. And man, what an opportunity to join Connect one day. To say, how can I move in my walk in my faith? Because every stage is found in Connect one day. In every way that we can serve and make an impact for the gospel kingdom of Jesus Christ. So join and connect one day. But let's look at Matthew 28. And this is kind of the tension that I want to solve today. Is that Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go. Therefore, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. In verse 20, teach these new disciples. Parent them. Train them. Help them to obey all the commandments that I have been given you. Be sure of this, I'm with you always to the end of the age. What is Jesus talking about? To me, it doesn't matter what stage you're in. We want to get to the parental stage and not the religious stage. But what Jesus is saying is sharing your faith is required. It is not mandatory. I mean, it is not optional. It is mandatory. He's not saying don't share your faith. He's not saying if it feels right. He is saying, man, therefore go make disciples. I mean, I can look back at, man, even my youth pastor. I'm so grateful for Brittany, our youth director. I'm so grateful for, man, Nick, our Avenue Kids. I'm so grateful for our small group leaders. I'm so grateful for Man Night, you know, and Crave. Because it's individuals that are helping others to know Jesus. Hear me, we're not perfect. There's no stage of discipleship as perfection. It's not perfect. It's not perfect. But sharing your faith is required by Jesus. Because I want you to see, we just read in Romans chapter 10, is that you believe and make your faith openly and you declare your faith. But then let's look at real quick at Romans chapter 10, verse 14. And this is Paul. And Paul says, but how can they call on Jesus to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? Unless someone tells them. I'm so glad someone decided, and it started with my mama. I'm so glad my mama decided that I need to hear about Jesus. Parents in this room, I'm so glad my mama didn't say, if you feel like going to church. I'm so glad my mama said, Ephraim, me and my house, we go to church. I'm so glad one morning I woke up and I said, I'm not going to church. Church is dumb. And my mama said, you're going to church in 5 minutes. And I said, I'm not going. She dragged me in the car, and guess what? I went to church in my pajamas. My mom was a spiritual linebacker. Come on, somebody. My mom will take you out. And listen to me, church. My mama was divorced and single at that time until she found a godly man of God. Man, my parents paved the way, but it was also my pastors and my leaders. Man, one of our overseers was a master's commission student who prayed over me when I was a student. Spiritual parents in the house. So let me go real quick. We're gonna go old school. Is that okay if we go old school? I wore my old school polo shirt. Come on, somebody. Let's go old school. How do I witness? This is according to 1 Peter chapter 3. This is how I witness. 1 Peter chapter 3, number 1, is what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3. I love verse 15. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. So what does this have to do with witnessing? Meaning, number one, we submit to Jesus. We gotta submit to Jesus first. Because evangelism starts with surrender. So when there's a submission to Jesus, there's a partnership to Jesus. That we are, can I just say this? I was on the east side a little too long, maybe, East Las Vegas. And let me put this in much simpler terms. What a submission to Jesus means? Means I am smoking what I'm selling. I'm excited about Jesus. I want people to know about Jesus. But it comes with, it's a byproduct of my relationship with Jesus. It's not fake. This is authentic. As you submit to Jesus, you just can't help but to share about Jesus. But Lindsay and I asked her out many, many years ago, and didn't know if she liked me or not. And when I asked her out, she her face got red. She put her hands in her face. And I looked at her and I went, I don't know this girl. Remember that? And I asked her, is this a good thing or a bad thing? Are you embarrassed or mortified? You know what I mean? And she said, yes, I'll go out with you. And so we went to a fancy restaurant, steakhouse, really expensive. It's called Applebee's. Half price appetizers after 9 p.m., you know? And we had a conversation. And all of a sudden I asked her, just point blank, I said, do you like me? Like, is this do you like me? And she goes, yeah, I like you. And the waitress, you remember the waitress' name, and the waitress, I go, she likes me. She likes me. We're excited about Jesus. We're excited to tell people about Jesus. Listen to me, spiritual parents in the house. Listen to me, the religious elite. Listen to me, spiritual young adults. The getting excited about Jesus is not just for the spiritual infants. It's not just for the baby Christians. Oh, they're just excited, but that'll wear off. It should never wear off. It should never wear off. Man, this week my parents were in town, and Lindsay started talking about this phenomenal bread. Karen, our production director, introduced this at our first leadership track, and she brought this box that said Star Bread on it. And I opened it up, and I said, I don't want croissants. Like, what is this? She said, it's bread. It's really good. I'm thinking, whatever, Karen. And I took one bite of that star bread, and I was, I, 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 I I was like, the Lord is real. God is good. I mean, I ate that Starbucks. You got to check it out. There's two locations in town, not sponsored, by the way. And I ate that. I mean, that Starbucks was so good. I was like, can you bring that next week? And I think we all gained 50 pounds at leadership track. It's so good. And so then I told my parents about it. And Lindsay started talking to my parents about it. And guess what? The next day, I went out of my way to get Star Bread, brought it to the house. And I said, come. I made an announcement. Everybody, didn't I? I said, come out of your rooms. Come out of the highways and the byways. I have a message for you today. And they were excited. And so my stepdad takes a bite. My stepdad likes nothing delicious, by the way. Dean, I love you. And he takes a bite, and he goes, pretty good. My mom's like, this is delicious. What's in it, you know? And I asked my stepdad, I said, Dean, what'd you think? And he goes, well, it's really good. But by the way you've been talking about it, I thought it was going to be incredible. I said, Dean, I'm smoking what I'm selling. Come on, somebody. We need to be like that with our Jesus. We need to be like that with our Jesus. That he saved me. He cleansed me. He died for me. And he could die for you. He died, well, he did die for you. And he could heal you and save you. But look at 1 Peter. It says, if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. So number two is stay ready. It's stay ready. Now hear me, I'm going to free somebody in this room today. Staying ready means we're always prepared to tell people why we trust Jesus. It doesn't always mean you know everything about this book. It doesn't always mean, okay, well, in the Greek and the Hebrew. No, it means that you're able to share your faith. You're able to share your Jesus. But I also hope it challenges you to know your word, to know what it says. Come on, you don't need to come here and hear your pastor or your priest tell you the Bible. You need to read the Bible so that you know, so you have an understanding. That's why we go to small groups. I love summer small groups. That's why we study the Bible together, because we're always ready. And the Holy Spirit, listen to me, living, active, powerful. The Holy Spirit, I got to go much quicker. The Holy Spirit is our partner. Everywhere we go, the Holy Spirit knows you're going. And everywhere you go, the Holy Spirit knows somebody needs to hear your story so that you point them to Jesus. This week, I'll get fitted for new lenses and frames, and had this conversation and with the eyeglass optometrist, and towards the end of the conversation, we're talking about teenagers. She saw Levi, and we're talking about how to lock down your iPhone, and I'm giving her iPhone filters, and then she's like, how did you have this conversation with your son? And I said, well, we talk about values, and we have values because we're Christians. She said, you're Christian? I said, yes. Matter of fact, I pastor a church, and let me tell you about Jesus. It's just a seed. I didn't say, give me your hand, repeat this prayer after me. I just said, let me tell you about Jesus. This is why we have values. This is why we have integrity. But look at Romans chapter 10. It says, how can they hear unless someone tells them? So it's number three, speak kindly. Speak kindly when you tell them. Because in 1 Peter, so that was Romans 10, but the 1 Peter says this, but do this in a gentle and respectful way. We can preach the gospel and be nice. That's right. Jesus always connected before he corrected. If you connect, the correction is going to be nicer, with empathy and kindness and love. The Bible says, without love, you're just noise. Man, I don't want to be just noise in someone's life. I want to have kindness and adoration, so speak kindly. The truth should be shared with courage, but never with arrogance. Our tone should match the message of grace. And then the last one is live clearly. Is live clearly. First Peter chapter 3, verse 16, then if people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. One of the most powerful quotes regarding witnessing is by St. Francis of Assisi, and he says, preach the gospel, if necessary, use words. Preach the gospel, if necessary, use words. What does that mean? That means your life should be a witness enough. Your life should prompt questions. Your life should be so contagious. People go, what do you have that I don't have? And you say, I'm saved by grace through faith. It is by Jesus. It is by Jesus. Look at 2 Corinthians. Because we understand our fearful responsibility of the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. Persuade. To persuade others. To persuade others. Listen to me, there's three avenues that we witness. Avenue one is it's personal. It's that one-on-one. One-on-one conversations, one-on-one coffee. One-on-one golf, come on, somebody. It's just the one-on-ones. It's one-to-one. It is through everyday faithfulness, checking in on them. How you doing? I'm proud of you. The next one is it's in a smaller group. Man, this can be three or four or two, three, four, five. Not just a Bible small group. It can be that. But it's also just a small group that of men or women or whatever. It's just a small group where you're still able to share your life, share your Christ. You share your story. You share with honesty. You share with encouragement. I love every small group I've ever been a part of. When someone shares something pretty personal, no one goes, oh. Most of the time they go, me too. I thought I was the only one. Thank you for sharing that. That's sharing your life. But also number three is it's big. I call this a corporate in community. It's Sunday mornings. It's the church. Man, when we get together in church, you should be a witness. Moms and dads, should be a witness when you raise your hands, when you worship in the house of God. It should be a witness, teenagers, to your friends and your peers when you say, hey, I like to cut back and I like to have fun too, but right now I gotta worship. Man, right now I gotta get into my word. Right now, hey, close your eyes. Stop talking to me, pastor's praying. Like it's a witness in the house. But listen to me, you just need to know Jesus. We just need to follow Jesus, and we just have to be willing to let people see our Jesus. Our Jesus. 2 years ago, someone in our church, I'm just not going to name names, but someone in our church invited his friend, who was an atheist, to a missions trip, goes to the missions trip 2 years ago, gets involved in our church, an amazing spiritual journey, and then last week, he got water baptized. It's Jesus. But hear me, even I fall prey to sharing publicly. You know, my 8-year-old, he had a flag football game yesterday. And after the game, the coaches, the two coaches and the referee, have what we call intense conversation. After the game, at an 8-year-old flag football game, an intense conversation. And there's another family that attends this church, and we sit together at the games, and we know each other very, very well. We're friends. And it was funny because they saw the intense conversation, and they said, oh, send the pastor, send the pastor over there. And I went, shh. I looked behind me, I said, where's the pastor? I don't know what you're talking about. And what happens, though, is one of the reasons that stops us from sharing our faith is fear. And this is why I close out. Worship team, help me land this plane. You know, I'm gauging time a little differently today. But fear of rejection stops us. I'll take it a step further. We call it fear of man. Fear of people. And fear of rejection stops us. And your fear, thinking about this, our fear of rejection or our fear of what others think about us is stopping someone from finding freedom. Paul says, how will they know? Unless someone tells them. How will they know? Unless the message goes to the highways and the byways. You know, I do my best to live my life at in scary places like Walmart. Yeah, no. Lindsay loves Walmart. Kids' football games, doctors' offices, gas stations. But I don't go to your work. I don't live in your house. You do. But we cannot allow fear to stop us, because if we fear people, we'll stay quiet. We'll play it safe. But the Bible says there's a healthier fear, and that's fear of the Lord. Proverbs 29:25 says, fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trusting the Lord means safety. And friends, this is such a challenge. It's a challenge to me, and it should be a challenge to you, that what you fear, you will obey. Now, a fear of the Lord isn't like you're taking a shower and God shows up and you're like, oh my gosh, oh. No, but a fear of the Lord is, it's a healthy, reverent respect. It's a love. In our healthy and irreverent fear of God must be greater than our fear of man. Because nobody wants to be rejected. I share with our church all the time, I've been inviting strangers to our church for 9 years. And not one of them has come. I've tried. I don't know if they like find me on the website. Like, that's the guy. I don't know. I've invited people to church. But you know how many seeds we've been planting? Seeds of just the gospel of Jesus. 1 John chapter 4, such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we're afraid, it's for fear of punishment. And it shows that we've not fully experienced this perfect love. We love each other because he first loved us. So friends, if you're here today, the opposite of fearing man is not judging or manipulating people. It's not beating people down. It's not hating them. It is loving people. It's loving them enough to pull them from death to life. So don't let fear silence your show and tell. Don't let fear silence your story. Trust God, love people, go therefore, make disciples, baptize them, and teach them. And here is the good news. God's still doing a work inside of you. Because right now, the devil wants to say, you're not good enough to share. The devil wants to say, you're not contagious enough. You're not right enough. Did you know my Bible says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says that I am certain that God who began a good work within you will continue its work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. He who began a good work in you will finish it. And so our testimony is one-on-one. Our testimony is in our small groups, but our testimony is right here in our worship. And so will you stand with me, please, as I close out in prayer? But will you just lift your hands today? And will you be a witness to anybody who's in this room today? Will you be a witness to anyone who's watching online today? Will you be a witness to our students? Will you be a witness to our retirees? Will you be a witness to your sons and your daughters today? And will you show them what worship looks like? Because it's not about religion. It's about relationship. Man, it's not about performance. It's about a relationship. It's about smoking what we're selling. It's about saying, I love Jesus with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul. I just want an opportunity to worship him today. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I want you all to repeat this prayer after me. Say, dear Jesus. Come on, everybody. Say, dear Jesus. Say, I believe you died for me. Say, forgive me of my sins. Say, be Lord of my life. Say, the best way I know how, I'm going to live for you. Because I now know who I am. I'm saved. I'm redeemed. I'm a child of God. Come on, everybody, give God a shout today.